knowledge fight.
Dan and Jordan, I am sweating.
KnowledgeFight.com.
It's time to pray.
I have great respect for Knowledge Fight.
Knowledge Fight. I'm sick of them posing as if they're the good guys, saying we are the bad guys. Knowledge Fight.
Dan and Jordan.
Knowledge Fight.
I need money. Andy in Kansas. Andy in Stop it. Andy in Kansas. Andy. It's time to pray. Andy in Kansas, you're on the air. Thanks for holding.
Hello, Alex. I'm a Christian caller. I'm a huge fan. I love your work.
Knowledge Fight.
KnowledgeFight.com. I love you.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Knowledge Fight. I'm Dan.
I'm Jordan.
We're a couple dudes like to sit around, worship at the altar of Selene, and talk a little bit about Alex Jones.
Oh, indeed we are, Dan.
Jordan.
Dan.
Jordan.
Quick question.
What's up?
What's your bright spot today, buddy?
My bright spot is two-pronged.
Two-pronged.
First, we forgot to do this on the 1,000th episode because this person sent something very nice like a month ago or so.
Yes.
And so it was a little bit in advance of the 1,000th episode.
Right.
We kind of forgot.
Yeah.
But thank you so much to Greg for sending a cameo of Alex Horn congratulating us on the 1,000th episode.
Yeah, it was really cool, but we didn't want to bring it up because it was for the 1,000th episode, but we hadn't done the 1,000th episode yet.
And by the time we did the 1,000th episode, I had forgotten to look up his name.
Totally.
And I felt really bad thanking without a name.
Brutal.
So thank you so much. That was very nice.
That was amazing.
Checked out friend Lisa Traeger's new special, Night Owl, on Netflix.
Very good.
Very funny.
Yeah.
So good.
She's very, very
She's
funny.
The best.
Yeah.
So I enjoyed that.
And she was on TV talking shit about Bernie Sanders. How fun
it's
was
true.
That? She was on
true.
A whole commercial.
Yep. Great comedy special.
Yep.
I recommend it highly.
Yep.
How about you? What's your bright spot?
My bright spot is Control. I've been playing the video game Control.
Right. I started you off on an Alan Wake journey.
Yeah, you started me on the Alan Wake-a-sphere. Mm-hmm. Two ships passing in the night. You started with Alan Wake 2, and I foolishly began at the beginning.
Right.
But now I'm starting to play Control, and very fun. You know what? You can grab things with your mind. And then throw them, obviously, telekinesis. The physics of it are so satisfying.
All right.
There's something, you know, like, because you've played Jedi games or things where you have telekinesis in the past. There's something about the way these things hit stuff, the way that it flies through the air, just the way that you can kind of feel the impact.
I wonder if that would be more fun, like, on the Switch. Because you could have the Joy-Cons or the little controllers that you actually move around to throw things.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
I think the part of the problem there would just be sheer, like, the graphics on the regular Switch.
Mm-hmm.
The pre-Switch 2 is what I'm calling it now.
Oh, my.
That's why even have it?
Graphics aren't that bad.
They're not that bad, but they're not like, it's not the strongest of devices.
What about we get you into a VR situation?
What about if we get me into a VR situation?
With this telekinesis.
It'd be pretty fun.
Because you have the little hand things.
It'd be very fun.
Yeah?
There's some fun things on VR. I've tried it.
Mm-hmm. I tried a little bit, and it made me feel a little bit nauseous.
Yeah.
And so I've not explored very far.
I used dancing. That's what I use, aerobic dance. That's what I use it for.
Okay.
Yeah.
VR aerobic dance?
That's what I use it for. I gotta stay in shape.
Do you do the dancing, and in the VR headset, you just see, like, the Olympics, like, as if you're on the mat?
That would be fun.
The experience of being down there,
of being somebody from Australia?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's about as good as I am.
Mm-hmm. As a ray gun? Is that the joke you're making?
Oh, boy.
Making a ray gun
How
joke?
How about that? Why not? It's past due date.
It's 2025. No more of that. Well, I'm glad you're enjoying the game.
Yes, thank you.
So today, Jordan, we have an episode to go over, a little Sneaky Snake episode.
Okay.
We're going to be talking about January 21st, the day after the inauguration.
Okay, all right.
Now, at this point, obviously, everyone was buzzed about Elon doing a Nazi salute at Trump's inauguration rally.
Right.
And various other things, like all of the executive orders that Trump put through on the first day in office.
Yeah.
So let's tune in to see how Alex responds.
I bet well.
So good. And we'll get to that real quick after we say hello to some new walks.
Ooh, that's a great idea.
So first, where lies the strangling fruit that came from the hand of the sinner? Thank you so much. You're now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thank you very much.
Hey, thank you. Next. Hello, Nick and Will from Jordan R. Thanks to the latter for showing me this podcast. Thank you so much. You're now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. And thank you so much to KB McSpaz. The B is for buttons. After listening to 666 shows, I'm out of excuses not to donate. Thank you so much. You're now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. And we got a ticket grade in the mix, Jordan. Ooh. So thank you so much to I ate a bowl of chili, and in my chili-induced fugue state, I accidentally deleted my Patreon subscription. So to make up for it, I resubscribed at a higher level. Life is very fragile. Thank you so much. You are now a technocrat.
I'm a policy wonk.
4 stars. Go home to your mother and tell her you're brilliant.
Someone sodomite sent me a bucket of poop.
Daddy Shark. Bom, 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 bom. Jar Jar Binks has a Caribbean black accent.
He's a loser little titty baby.
I don't want to hate black people. I renounce Jesus Christ.
Chili is very dangerous.
Yes, that is true.
So we start here on the 21st.
Okay.
And Alex is reflecting on what Trump did on Inauguration Day.
Sure.
And what the most important piece of this puzzle has been.
I would like to know that. Yeah.
Yeah.
I have to say that I rarely have trouble saying which action is the best of a group of good things. But today, it's important to ask, what is the most important thing he's doing? Well, in general, it's getting our morale up and then bringing tangible, real things to the morale being up that will actually then have that successfully relaunch the civilization. But there's so much getting out of the global carbon tax world government regime, the heart of the New World Order, pulling out of the WHO, the J6 complete pardons. I mean, this is amazing.
So Trump did a lot of shit on Inauguration Day, and pretty much all of it sucks and is either counterproductive or designed to hurt people. Alex has a couple of those examples that he throws out, but I think it's notable that the most important thing he did seems to be make Alex feel good. All this stuff that Trump is doing is bad, and it offers no path forward in terms of the problems that exist in the real world. Climate change is still going to be a huge problem, regardless of whether or not we're signed onto the Paris Accords. Public health emergencies and pandemics will still be a threat we face if we're a part of the WHO or not. What Trump achieves by leaving these agreements is not actually part of solving or facing these problems. It's an act of cowardice, or of wanting to pretend that these threats aren't real. When we leave the WHO, we don't become more able to sway public health policy and make the world a healthier place. We just give up our seat at the table at the body where the world collaborates on addressing those issues. None of this stuff solves anything, but it does make people like Alex feel good. So, in a way, I think that Alex has actually nailed it when he says that that's the most important thing that Trump did on day one.
Agreed.
He pandered to the base and gave them the catharsis they needed in order to not give up on the fantasy that he really has their interests in mind.
Mm.
He gave them just enough to make it so, like, we don't have to cut bait here.
Yep.
And that's pretty important.
Yep.
The most consequential thing that he did would probably be something, one of those other ones.
It's nice to watch them put out all these executive orders and have nobody stop them or have any consequences for it at all.
Well, the courts are intervening in some of the cases, and we'll see, you know, see what that process leads to. But, you know, there's a challenge to the executive order getting rid of birthright citizenship.
Sure.
For one.
And yeah, that'll probably go all the way to the Supreme Court.
The freeze on government spending is also being challenged.
Sure, I bet that'll probably go all the way to the Supreme Court.
I understand what you're saying, but it is not right to say that nothing is being done.
Sure.
You can have a nihilistic perspective on whether or not this process will lead to a good outcome, but
okay.
People are responding.
There you go.
You know?
I wish them the best of luck. I'm sure that they're going to get it this time. I bet they got it.
Sure.
I bet they've got this one. If I believe harder, maybe that's what I got to do.
Okay.
All right.
So the enemy that Alex has,
yeah,
they are not like a political thing, right?
Okay.
They're a depopulation scam that is being run by the devil.
Right.
And so he talks about...
I assume we haven't killed the devil.
Mm.
The woke mind virus dead.
Right.
The devil's still around.
Also, the woke mind virus may be, we need to be scared of it later.
Oh, okay.
But
well,
for now, it's not a problem.
Okay.
Yeah, devil's still up and around, but he's greatly weakened.
Old Scratch. Yeah.
Yeah. You're not going to beat Old Scratch with an election.
No.
So anyway, they're all trying to depopulate the world.
Mm. Bunch of scientists, what, 6-7 years ago, thousands of them signed a big letter, astrophysicists, you name it, that the sun drives 99%+ of our climate. Of course it does. We'd be below zero if it wasn't there. And the UN put out a declaration saying the sun has no effect on climate. You can look that up. UN issues declaration that the sun has no effect on climate. I mean, it's like saying we have a declaration that oxygen is not needed for humans. So you're dealing with savage level lies, like Bill Nye the Science Guy says there are not X and Y chromosomes in his new children's show. Neil deGrasse Tyson says women are as strong as men. Next, he'll tell you that leprechauns are real. So this is a sabotage system, sabotaging civilization and logic. And I know you know that, but we have to say, we know you're a fraud. We know you're a depopulation weapon system. Everything you push is to sabotage us. You're in a death cult. Paul Ehrlich would go on TV in the 70s, 80s, and 90s. He's the grand poobah of it all, the Club of Rome, and say, we're going to have only images of men as bad in TV. We're going to destroy the family. We're going to cut off the resources where you're so poor, you can't afford to have kids, and we're going to dumb people down so they're more easily manageable, and that's what we do because I'm a liberal, and that's how we want to sabotage civilization because humans are bad for the earth, and they would have the liberal talk show host clap and agree. A bunch of self-appointed monsters.
I love the idea that Alex is like, next, Neil deGrasse Tyson is going to tell you that leprechauns are real. Now, demons walk among us.
Obviously.
And I see them, and no one else can.
Yeah, my fictional characters are real. This guy's fictional characters are bullshit.
Cool, man.
Yeah.
So Alex wants his audience to treat the other side as if all of their points are secretly about launching this demonic population, depopulation agenda, because he knows that's really his only chance of winning an argument. If you, by default, assume that anyone you disagree with is secretly just trying to advance the devil's grand schemes, you probably won't take any time to consider the veracity of the information they're presenting. It's just a shortcut to disproving things without disproving anything.
Sure.
I think our show would be pretty useless if on episode one I'd just said, Alex claims this thing, but I don't care about that claim because he's a racist. If I'd had that approach, my criticisms would not truly be based in how the things he's saying are bullshit. They would be attacking the messenger, and I've tried not to fall into that being the core of what I do. I attack the messenger plenty now because he's a dipshit, but I try very hard not to say this point is stupid because Alex is the person saying it.
Mm.
He's stupid and he's a liar, but that doesn't mean that everything he says is a dumb lie, and I try to take the claims as they are.
Sure.
Alex's show is useless as a source of information because he's training the audience to just assume that anything the enemy is saying is a lie, meant to cover up their real position, which is that they want to depopulate the earth on behalf of the devil. It's cheap, and it's not based on anything. And then beyond that, you just have him rambling about all these things that aren't true. When his fantasies intersect with reality, where he's supposed to provide the foundation for his shit talk, you end up with erroneous claims, like that the UN said the sun has nothing to do with climate, or this imagined rant that Paul Ehrlich definitely went on TV. Like, it's very...
It sounded true.
Oh, yeah.
It felt true.
You may notice that Alex's citation for that is so unspecific to the point that it's meaningless. Ehrlich apparently said these things on an unnamed TV show at some point in the 70s, 80s, or 90s. That's 30 years of possible TV appearances. You would have to watch all of them to even be able to assess whether Alex has anything to base this on, and that's insane. He needs to be specific, or you should treat this as, oh, here's a guy saying something stupid.
Yeah.
Also, I think that Alex is confusing Paul Ehrlich's population bomb with the Club of Rome's publication Limits to Growth. And I think he does that because his grasp on information is bad and he just assumes everything is the same thing.
Yeah, put it all in the same pot.
Who cares?
Yeah, if you're going to live by the three witches rules, just put it all in the same cauldron, swirl it around, whatever happens, that's what was supposed to happen.
Sure. No, hey, that's fine. Yeah. I'm just not also going to pretend that you've studied things then.
Sure, you sure. Know? I mean, I understand that you probably don't go to the three witches for, like, detailed readouts of news.
If everything is the same thing, all things are interchangeable, and you don't have to read anything because you already know what it's going to say.
Right.
Fine, have fun, but yeah. I'm going to treat you as a stupid person as opposed to someone who actually knows the things they're talking about.
Sure.
So there's one thing that Alex is caught on to here on the 21st, and that is that people are saying some stuff about Nazis.
Sure.
Saying that Trump's a Nazi.
Right. Well, for good reason.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Alex doesn't seem to know a whole lot other than the people are talking some shit.
There's no way to know why people would call him a Nazi.
No.
It's not possible.
It's mysterious.
Yeah.
Ignore them. Because the last power the corporate media has with almost no audience is to attack Trump and myself and Elon and everybody else that's fighting him, and then have us spend our time responding to the BS they put out. Like, I saw these headlines everywhere, and I thought I sent it to you guys. I say don't respond to it, but when I say respond to it, but explain it's designed to make you respond to it. Don't just respond to the lie. Explain why they're doing it so then people get it. Elon posted it yesterday. I thought I sent it this morning. I posted it on my ex. But you've got all these mainstream corporate media, AP, you name it, and they're saying Trump is Hitler-like. Trump's inaugural address was like Hitler. And then we all go and debate and say, we're not like Hitler. Trump's not like Hitler. No kidding. No, no. You then go address it and explain that that's all they've got left, and that if you actually study them in eugenics and depopulation, they're the ones that are actually like Hitler.
So I think that Alex is probably trying to talk about how everyone was criticizing Elon Musk for throwing up two salutes to the audience that looked a lot like Sieg Heil's.
Do you mean the Nazi salutes that he threw up?
But he doesn't even want to say that.
Right.
It feels like he's dancing around this without saying it.
Right.
And I wonder if that's because what he's talking about, the theme, is that if you bring these things up, you're falling into the globalist trap.
Right.
So he can't even bring up that Elon Musk was doing Nazi salutes.
That's wise. Yeah. I mean, what's ironic about that is that I do think that is the smartest thing for him to
just
do.
Just ignore it.
People are going to forget about it in
yes.
2 weeks. They don't give a shit.
Totally.
He's a Nazi. Everybody knows this. Nobody fucking cares.
For Alex's money, I think it is best just to ignore it.
Yeah. Oh, he. Yeah. But yeah, just be like, I don't remember that. And then everybody will not remember.
Yeah. Alex, for whatever he's done in his life and whatever importance he thinks he has, no one's clamoring for comment
nah.
on this.
Nope.
I don't really care about arguments about whether or not what Elon did was a Nazi salute, because I think it's kind of a distraction. People like Elon do this type of shit all the time, and the plausible deniability of it is what allows them to play these sorts of games. The joke is in the debating whether he meant to do a Nazi salute, when in the real world, his intentions don't even come close to mattering. He either meant to do the salute as a little symbol or a troll, or he made a sincere mistake, and he's the stupidest person in the world. He did two back-to-back salutes that looked like Nazi salutes at the inauguration of a president who did a racist rally at Madison Square Garden as a way of mirroring the American Bund. He did these salutes in the middle of a stretch where he's making public statements like only the AfD can save Germany, and talking about how Germany needs to give up on its guilt from the past.
Very Lindberghian, if you will.
What I'm saying is that this is all meant to speak to a certain group. Or Elon's revealing that he's a public danger due to how dumb and irresponsible he is with public messaging. And I think the group he might have been trying to message towards heard him. Folks like Nick Fuentes were pretty pumped, as were the folks in the more Nazi side of Trump's base.
Sure.
I'm not sure that this is what he was doing, but it would make total sense if Elon did this gesture to excite the bigot side of Trump's audience. In the past month or so, they've been pretty mad at him about the H-1B visa stuff and him not being a hard no on immigration. So if he decided that he would throw the bigots a bone by doing the salute at the inauguration rally, I think it would be a pretty good move on his part. Pretty savvy. It would neutralize a lot of the heat that he's getting from the extreme end of the base, and there's literally no risk of him being punished by the more moderate part of the audience. Trump doesn't give a shit, so if this is something that Musk planned to do in order to placate the Nazis, that makes sense. Or he's showing his Nazi leanings. Or he's a complete idiot with no awareness of how he's behaving in public, and he shouldn't be allowed to have that kind of platform. Whatever the case, Alex doesn't seem too worried about it. Just ignore it, says the tip of the spear. Don't even engage, says the guy who spent months whining about how Biden doing a speech at night was Hitlerian. Mm. Calm down.
Yeah, I mean, for my money, it's hard not to think, in the context of everything I know about this man, he is very desperate for an idiot on the internet to not be mean to him.
Mm-hmm.
Like, so he's willing to go to extreme lengths for everyone that he possibly can get to like him, to like him. So I would suggest that doing things, probably look at who likes him afterwards as to the motive.
And it also seems like Elon has a real interest in shitty people liking him.
Sure does.
He seems to have less of an interest in people who are considerate and thoughtful and, you know, reflective about life.
It does go both ways in that if you are thoughtful and considerate, one of the easiest ways to find out for sure is if you hate Elon Musk.
Yeah. This is a rectangles, but not all rectangles are squares.
It works back and forth. It's very strange. Yeah.
So I thought that Alex was being savvy and just sort of ignoring the Musk thing.
Yeah.
But then he keeps talking, and I think he didn't know. I think he was surprised to learn that people were upset that Elon Musk did that.
Yeah, what you gonna do?
They're the ones that are actually like Hitler. Yeah, I'll find it. That's not it. I'll show you. Elon reposted or commented on a headline about Hitler. If you just go to his feed, you can just scroll through it. It's at Elon Musk's where you find it. I mean, just type in Trump Hitler and I'll do it. Go to Google. It's okay, no problem.
A lot of results for that one. Trump, a lot of results.
Hitler.
So many.
Because you
results.
Know me, I'm neurotic. I must show you something if I say it. Yeah, Nadler condemns what appears to be a Heil Hitler from Musk. Oh, we see. This is all they got. Elon Musk performs bizarre Hitler salute. So mainly they're just focusing on that. Trump inauguration features neo-Nazis and Hitler salutes. So instead they're... See, I was the attacks on Trump. But it's... mainly on Musk, too.
So you get the sense from that moment that Alex actually doesn't know what people are talking about, which seems impossible. Elon throwing up that salute was a major story in the news and on social media, so I can't imagine that Alex is actually unaware that this was the center of the story. But maybe he really doesn't know. That last headline that Alex reads was, quote, Trump's inauguration features neo-Nazis and Hitler salute from top ally. That was about Musk's salute, but also about neo-Nazis who were invited. This is about a guy named Timothy Hale Cusinelli, who got invited for, he got convicted for his actions storming the Capitol on January 6th. He's a notable January 6th guy because there are pictures of him online with a Hitler mustache, and he's an opium Nazi sympathizer and white supremacist.
Sure.
His co-workers have said that he believes that the problem with Hitler was that he didn't finish the job.
What you gonna do?
Inviting that guy, who's spoken at Trump's clubs multiple times in the past year, is an interesting choice, and it looks a little bad when Elon Musk then goes on to do what appears to be two Nazi salutes. I guess Alex, should follow through with his own advice and just ignore this stuff, like the real, you know, tip of the spear.
Yeah.
It's what they would do.
I would recommend it.
But don't you get the sense from listening to that it feels almost like he's like, oh, wait, this is about Elon?
It does feel like he doesn't understand what people are talking about, which is weird because I know he's glued to Twitter.
He's got to be.
He's glued to it all the time, being like, oh, 100 million and one views, 100 million and two views. Like, that's how he gets off, essentially, right? So he can't not have seen 300 pictures.
It seems to me very unlikely.
Yeah.
But he also seems to be showing a lack of awareness about what's going on.
Well, I mean, maybe on the other hand, he's like, why are people complaining? You know?
That's possible, too.
How did you not see this coming?
Or,
you know where we live now, right?
Or, why are people complaining? I don't see anything wrong with this.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it seems silly to be unhappy about it now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So Alex is trying to get this headline that he wants to cover about the Nazi stuff.
Sure.
And the crew can't get it. Can't find it. And so Alex gets pretty mad.
Wow.
This made me feel very uncomfortable.
Uh-oh.
So instead they're... See, I was missing the attacks on Trump. But it's... mainly on Musk, too. So... That's all they've got. We can pull the Musk Trump Hitler up, though, right? Or just overhead shot, actually. Just show my phone. No big deal. We'll just show it on my phone. We'll do it this way. Overhead shot, please. There you go, right here. Yep, I shoot over here. I shoot right here. Here you go. Neo-Nazis love the Nazi-like salute from Elon made at Trump's inauguration. And I guess Hulk Hogan, too, when he does his muscle pose, is Hitler. I guess when surfers...
Was that your choice? That. For examples?
That's all they got, folks. So, what it actually is a Roman salute.
A Roman salute. That's all Alex has got? What is he doing?
I mean, hey, you know what? I don't know. I don't know who I'm more angry at. I don't know if I'm more angry at somebody who is a professional journalist writing Nazi-like or somebody saying that it was a Roman salute. I actually prefer Roman salute. At least that's a bald-faced lie instead of a coward. You know?
You know what I'm not mad at, though, is whoever's on staff that day. I could feel the energy of, like...
Oh, that feels bad.
That sort of abusive parent who you got to tiptoe around. Like, that felt scary.
Yeah.
There's a tension.
Yeah, there's definitely no good coming out of that relationship. Yeah.
So Alex has a headline there about how Nazis were thrilled with what they experienced as Musk throwing up the Nazi salute.
Yeah.
That was a headline from Wired, and the reason this is kind of inconvenient for Alex to work into his rant is because it's not about the Dems or the globalists calling Trump or Elon a Nazi. It's about Nazis saying, hey, Elon is doing our thing. The article cites a Nazi meme channel admin from Telegram posting, "We are fucking back," in response to Musk's gesture. A Holocaust denier who works for Turning Point USA said, "Holy crap, did Elon Musk just heil Hitler at the Trump inauguration rally in Washington, D.C.? That's incredible. We're so back." Alex is getting mad and frustrated because he didn't actually prepare before going on air, and these headlines don't quite work for what he was imagining that he'd be covering. It's actually revealing a shocking level of unawareness that he must have had when he got on air. Also, by descending into this "what about Hulk Hogan" and "it was a Roman salute" type defense, isn't Alex doing exactly what he said not to do? Aren't you supposed to just ignore this stuff? This seems like him not following his own advice because he didn't know what he was talking about.
I'm still stuck on Roman salute.
Yeah.
That's wild. Mm. That is a wild thing. If that's where you can come there direct, you know what I mean? Like, if you're not, because it felt like that came out of nowhere.
But yeah.
Like, if you're not snaking through, like, oh, this is, it's obviously Nazi salute. Obviously, that's a swastika behind him. So a swastika, maybe that's a Indian religious symbol. So, see, I've got you there. But if you're just like, nah, that's a Roman salute, you're crazy.
I somewhat agree with you, but I also know enough of, like, seeing these types of responses over the years that the Roman salute thing is a pretty knee-jerk.
Just, like, right to it. Yeah. You train yourself to get there. That makes sense.
Because you're in Alex's orbit. You're in this world. You're going to end up seeing
a lot of Nazi salutes.
Yes.
You got to have it on hand. You got to have it in your back pocket. Oh, that's not a Nazi salute. The thing I've seen several hundred thousand times.
Yeah. You have to be ready. And Alex, I think, is ready.
That makes sense.
So the premise of this show was going to be that Alex was going to take calls. But I think having this Elon Musk Nazi salute thing thrown into his lap and him seeming to be unprepared for it has led to him, like, I'm not taking calls. I'm not doing a space.
Don't do it.
Fuck it. We got a lot of news to get to.
Yeah, do we?
I'm going to do this. I'm not going to do an X spaces now. I'm not going to take calls now. Because I've got a lot of material and a lot of news to cover. And I just got more philosophical and 35,000 foot view here. And there's just too much news and too much that has to be dealt with. And I need to go over these executive orders. I need to go over his congressional policies. I need to go over what the left's planning. And I need to get into the international news, the military news, and the other big ways that they are now coming after Trump and coming after his supporters and trying to rebrand things that, there wasn't an elite before. Or there was, they cared about you. But now that Trump and the populist movement is taking over all over the world, and a lot of powerful people are joining us because they can see which way the wind's blowing, The corporate dying media is now trying to become the resistance and say, oh, there is an elite that wants to enslave you, and it's Donald Trump and Elon Musk. These headlines are everywhere. American oligarchy is officially here. And then look who the American oligarchy is. It's Trump, Musk, and Zuckerberg. Zuckerberg capitulated because he knew he'd failed and his globalist bosses had been defeated. So he's just a follower. But Musk openly is opposing the actual globalist agenda and helped take Trump over the top and is the real deal. And then, of course, Trump is the real deal.
Real deal.
Real deal.
Nothing Alex says there in any way refutes the argument that Trump is ushering in an oligarchy.
Yeah.
Alex is just being defensive about how it's kind of undisputable based on the actions that are being taken. It's fair enough to have criticisms about the corporate media, but Alex should really be forced to reflect on what he's saying. Elon Musk is a billionaire with international business interests and a ton of reliance on government subsidies and contracts that he needs in order to stay a billionaire. In advance of the election, Musk bought Twitter and brought back to the platform a ton of people who specialized in spreading misinformation and also Nazi stuff. He fundamentally altered fact-checking processes and moderation practices in a way that favored people who were aggressive liars. He created a system where people could make money off tweeting if they got large enough audiences and engagement, which gave a financial incentive for people to post sensational content regardless of whether it was true or not. Musk created a public information space that was as if it had been intentionally polluted, so it wouldn't really be of any use for the public. And then he gave Trump millions of dollars for the election campaign and started doing raffles where people could win $1 million for registering to vote, all while he gave speeches about how Trump needed to win or else the world would end. Alex calls all of this Musk, quote, putting Trump over the top, and that's fair enough. Elon Musk meddled in the election in a way that he was only able to do because he's a billionaire, and he only did it because he knew that that's the best way for him to protect the money, was to get Trump into office. In return for Trump putting him over the top, or Musk putting him over the top, he got rewarded with a fake government efficiency office, where he'll use that power to advance his oligarchical interests. And then he got to speak at the Trump inauguration rally, where he threw up a couple Nazi salutes, and he's going to face no consequences for it. I understand that hypocrisy doesn't mean anything and dipshits like Alex have no concern for it, but I lay this out to stress exactly what it is that Alex is hand-waving. If this series of actions took place but involved Biden, Alex would have very serious problems with how a billionaire was allowed to sway the election so brazenly like this. His principles mean nothing, so when you see him making arguments that appeal to things that kind of make sense, it's important to remember that he's just pretending to care about things that make sense to you in order to exploit your rationality. And you should not take it seriously. He does not give a shit about any of this.
Yeah. Yeah, it is tough to square, you know, screaming for 30 years about how we're going to get a dictator and then install a dictator.
Mm-hmm.
It's weird to scream for 30 years about how a small group of global elites have complete control over the population and they want to reduce it. While at the same time ushering in an era of small group of billionaires having complete control over the government and then using it to, I guess, remove a lot of people from the country.
Mm-hmm.
It does feel weird. Although I wonder if what we should conclude is that if you yell for 30 years about how your other people are doing something, you are guaranteeing that your people will do that thing.
I don't know if it's a guarantee, but yeah, I think that in this case, you're really seeing, you're making a compelling argument.
Yeah, interesting.
Yeah, I think that something that Alex does illustrate is this kind of career of like this shit-talking idiot, wrong about stuff, making things up all the time, entertainment disaster kind of guy. I think that what he pretends to be against is often kind of baked into what he believes.
Yeah.
And I think you're going to see that.
Yeah. That classic, that's what I would do. Mm-hmm. It's like, well, I think you've explained what you want to do.
Yeah. Yeah. To other people.
To other people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, you know, Musk, he threw up those salutes, but like,
sure.
It wasn't really a Nazi salute. When you really think about it.
It was a Roman salute.
Kind of.
And coming from obscurity to.
That's what he said it was.
Preeminence. is not a elitist movement. It is a grassroots movement of, for, and by the people for a pro-human, pro-expansionist plan instead of the globalist post-human plan. And that's the fork in the road that Elon Musk was just talking about. And we have now taken the right fork. So it's just insane. And by the way, I didn't properly address the Elon Musk Nazi salute because it's so ridiculous. I'm going to show you a bunch of videos of Democrats doing it, everybody else, and Hulk Hogan doing it, and Arnold Schwarzenegger, who was a Nazi. But the point is that, again, a Nazi salute is if you slam your hand into your chest and then say Heil Hitler at the end of it. That's the Nazi salute. You have to say Heil Hitler.
You gotta.
So that's a super convenient way for Alex to set the parameters for what can or can't be called a Hitler salute. Also, real shitty list of people he stammered together. He thinks Arnold Schwarzenegger is actually a Nazi, so that example doesn't work. Hulk Hogan famously was caught on camera saying the N-word a bunch and then talking about how his adult daughter can't date black dudes. He came up with two people, one of whom he believes to be a Nazi, and the other is a publicly known racist who is a speaker at the Trump RNC. Alex makes a stupid point, but even if he weren't, he made that point poorly. If your rebuttal to someone saying that what Musk did looked similar to a Nazi salute is that other people have done non-Nazi salute gestures that looked similar to what Musk did, then a full refutation of your argument is just to provide examples of people doing explicit Nazi salutes that look similar to what Musk did. There's no value to the evidence Alex is trying to present in terms of making the argument that he wants to make.
Yeah.
But I guess if you need to say Heil Hitler for a Nazi salute to be a Nazi salute, then it wasn't a Nazi salute when Richard Spencer was Zieg Heiling and saying Hail Trump. I guess the folks at the Unite the Right rally weren't actually doing Nazi salutes because they were saying things like Jews will not replace us. Alex should probably take his own advice and not even respond to this, because his response has done nothing to make me think that Musk wasn't doing a Nazi salute.
Yeah.
It has, however, made me pretty convinced that Alex is worried that people might think that Musk was.
There's definitely that.
So Alex is revealing a little bit about his thought process.
I like this game, though. I like this game. How do you know it's a Nazi salute is a good game to play, because that would get rid of our shitty headlines. Mm-hmm. That would get rid of our arguments, you know? That would get rid of Nazi-like salute, because if you just tell me what a Nazi salute is, then you either it is or isn't that.
It's like the Supreme Court's pornography, man.
No, it's not.
You know it when you see it.
It is not. There is a Nazi salute or there is not a Nazi salute. So just let me know which one it is.
Mm-hmm.
Listen, we're not doing Nazi-like in 2025.
Okay.
If you do that, that's pathetic. Okay. And you should be ashamed of yourself.
I think I probably did.
Ah,
at some point.
Trouble.
In this. So
trouble. Trouble.
So Alex gets to the the information of the piece, which is the executive orders. You know, like obviously he's a policy wonk.
Sure.
That's why we have that title for people that because it's in honor of him.
Absolutely.
He gets into the real weeds of stuff.
Yeah.
And so I wanted to hear what he had to say about these executive orders.
Mm. All right, I've got quite a job to do here in this second hour. I want to go through many of the amazing executive actions of President Trump, over 200 executive orders and executive actions yesterday. Obviously, the pardoning is good. The people are innocent. They were set up. It's meant to frame Trump and America as a bunch of terrorists. It's important to take that narrative and destroy it. And it's good to just not give a damn what the left says and stop making decisions according to not being criticized by them or doing things so you think it makes you look morally superior when you're buying into their lies. That's important. But this, to the economy and the world, is massive. There's different numbers and actuaries and studies out there, and really Lord Monckton's excellent at breaking those down on air. But if they had the net zero plans actually followed through on by 2030, and now they've adjusted out at 2035 because people aren't going along with it, so they don't ever give up. They just keep moving the goalpost. You're talking about billions of people starving to death. You cut the energy off here, people just get poor. You cut the energy off in the third world, they die. And then the survivors flood
They die
us.
Here, too.
The UN organizes them and does that. So Trump issues sweeping pardon of the J6ers. That's great. But the big news is Trump orders U.S. exit from the World Health Organization. We'll also be getting into that.
It really feels like Alex is just winging this, and he hasn't really even looked at the information he's jumping into covering, all of these non-prop pieces of paper on the desk. He put off actually talking about the executive orders for the first hour, but now it's time to strap in, and it's just rambling. He's manifesting a lot of defensiveness about the January 6th pardons, because there are some people who say that it would be a good idea to pardon people selectively. Like, go case by case through it and be like, hey, you are just part of the mob, we can pardon you. But you gotta keep some of the more dangerous people who acted violently with clear premeditation, you gotta keep them in jail. Alex is opposed to that and favors sweeping pardons for everyone, because all of the people he likes are the ones who acted violently and with clear premeditation. But then he starts rambling about cutting off the energy and Lord Monckton, pivoting into covering an article, but the headline is about Trump taking the U.S. out of the World Health Organization.
Yeah.
Between this kind of shit and him seemingly being on the back foot about Musk throwing up that salute, this is a real special level of him seeming to be unprepared for the show.
Yeah, this really seems nuts.
Yeah.
What's Lord Monckton doing? How is Lord Monckton doing?
I wouldn't be surprised if he's dead.
I wouldn't either.
I have no idea.
Yeah. Yeah. And it wouldn't be commemorated. It wouldn't be memorialized on InfoWars. We already saw him throw Larry Nichols at 6 feet under with no problems.
Mm-hmm.
Dang.
Yep.
Man. I don't like feeling more empathy for the characters that died than the person who cares
about
them.
Well, it is strange, because think about it. How else would you ever know that Lord Monckton is dead?
That's a good point.
How else would you ever know if Steve Pachenik died?
I'll never know.
Do you think that would ever come up in your life?
No.
Rare, like, obscure guy who used to write with Tom Clancy and then turned weird has died.
That would be a newspaper clipping.
That obituary would be pretty low.
Yeah, but he'd be a good read.
Yeah.
He's lived an interesting life.
Sure.
Yeah.
I don't know if obituaries print the legend, but they should.
He should write his own. That's what should really happen.
And then it'd be a book.
Yeah, that's what
I'm saying. Book-length obit.
Yeah.
So Alex is like, all right, I read the wrong headline. Let's actually go ahead and skip ahead to the Paris Accords part of this.
Yeah.
But as I mentioned it, Trump signs order directing U.S. withdrawal from the Paris Climate Agreement. And again, that's where Europe, the UK, Australia, New Zealand, the US, and Canada get rid of our fossil fuels and have a bridge to nowhere with supposedly nuclear and wind and solar. And then we're all supposed to drive electric cars that are built in China or Mexico or India or South Korea. And then you were supposed to charge those cars up with wind farm electricity. And then in all the numbers, it doesn't even give you 10% of what you need. Put windmills up everywhere, it wouldn't do it. So again, they want to get rid of cars. They want to get rid of private cars. They want a post-industrial world. They want to get rid of your gas range stove, everything else. That's the UN Global Treaty, Agenda 2030. But they don't just say, oh, we're going to take your cars. I mean, they admit that in the fine print. And, you know, banning all fossil fuel-powered cars by 2030. And those orders have been signed, the sale of them. And then countries that are further along, like Germany, are saying, oh, soon we'll ban you even owning one. And banning the sale of RVs. Seven states passed that last year. BlackRock lobbied for it. They don't want you and their gouging real estate and inflation to actually be able to survive and live in a mobile home. Pretty good living, actually. Things are pretty nice. And you can, you know, move around and stay in different places and see people. And oh, nope, sorry, you can't have that. It's bad. It's about destroying your lifestyle, killing your mobility, and locking you down in a 15-minute city.
So including in his executive actions, Trump withdrew the U.S. from the Paris Accords, which he did in his first term, too, a move that was reversed by Biden when he got into office. Pretty much the entire world is on board with these climate accords. partially because they aren't very strict. It sets goals and ambitions, but there's no mechanism to enforce anything, so it's actually kind of a it's-the-least-we-can-do situation. If you're a climate change denier, it's actually probably in your best interest for the Paris Accords to be in place, because governments and corporate interests can point to it and say, we're doing the best we can, in response to activists pushing for tighter and more serious climate action. Alex doesn't know anything about this subject and is just kind of saying whatever comes into his mind. For instance, this thing about RVs being banned in 7 states is just made up. Claiming that BlackRock wants to ban RVs is something he's crafted out of various memes he's seen and dumb thoughts he's had and, you know, a way to create a fun story about, you know, BlackRock wants you to not be able to afford your mortgage, so they also don't want you to have RVs.
Yeah.
But because this is fun. Airstream is probably one of the biggest RV manufacturing companies in the United States. That company is owned by Thor Industries Incorporated, which owns other RV manufacturers as well. And their number two institutional holder of stock is Vanguard, followed up by number three, BlackRock. Very sneaky of them to so heavily invest in a company that makes this product that they're trying to ban. But that's just how BlackRock operates.
Yeah, they're crafty. They're smarter than all of us put together, yeah. Obviously.
Mm-hmm.
They're playing seven-dimensional backwards chess.
Right.
Which you can... I like the idea of... Because it's a lot easier to be like, oh, BlackRock wants to ban RVs. Because then you create a fictional, like, building.
Mm-hmm.
You don't go like, oh, there was a meeting where six... billionaires got into a room and some dude had a PowerPoint presentation that was like, aha, fellas, here's how we do it. No more RVs. And they all stood up and applauded. Mm-hmm. Because that sounds fucking ridiculous.
It does.
You would have to be an idiot to believe that something like that would happen. But if you say, oh, BlackRock wants to ban RVs, well, that, oh, maybe they do. BlackRock's crazy.
I think Alex just saw a meme.
Yeah, that would
it's
make
all,
sense.
It's behind this.
Yeah.
I have some great news. Lord Monckton is still alive.
Good news.
72 years young.
Good news.
Birthday coming up.
Well, let's...
Should we celebrate his birthday?
I think we should. I don't know if anybody else will. The other lords don't seem to like him as much.
He's a lord. He's not really a lord. But he is a monk. So I was scrolling through his Wikipedia page.
Sure.
And I don't actually know if this is true, but I hope it is. He has, like, some books that he's published.
Okay.
Right? So one of them is Anglican Orders, Null and Void? Question mark. And then the AIDS report, which probably isn't good. And then a bunch of Sudoku books. He may have published a series of Sudoku puzzles.
Why can't people focus on what they're good at?
Yeah.
You know what? Get rid of this. Hey, buddy, you don't know shit about AIDS. If you know Sudoku, you've got a job. You've got a place in society.
To be the Will Shorts of Sudoku.
Absolutely. You've got a niche, man.
I don't know if that's true. I didn't look into it. I just saw it on Wikipedia. So don't hold me to that. But maybe he's a Sudoku guy.
Hey, I'm Monk Sudokuton.
Happy birthday coming up, Lord Monckton.
Best of luck to you.
So, Alex, he's talking about the Paris Accords and stuff.
Sure.
And obviously, he just wants us to get that coal going. What's that coal?
Really?
He wants it everywhere.
Mm.
Beautiful, beautiful coal.
Why?
Because it's clean.
No!
Trump's orders, U.S. withdrawal from Paris climate, revokes Biden climate actions. And there were a whole bunch of those, as you know. But I'm hearing from a lot of Republicans, okay, we won't close the remaining coal power plants now. Turn them back on. Trump's plan, and he can do it, is to cut energy prices by 50% within 1 year of being in office. And you don't just drill, baby, drill to do that. Yeah, that will cut the cost.
You dig, baby, dig.
Gas tank, but you need coal to drive down electricity prices to make us competitive with Mexico and with China and others. And you go down to the Mexican-Texas border. And you fly around in a helicopter like we've done showing the illegal alien UN migrant bases. And you look off a few miles over the border and you just see coal plants everywhere in factories. And you see the brown smog because they don't run scrubbers in Mexico. They got a turbine that turns in boiled water, hydroelectric. And they just dump black smoke into the air that is very bad. When you're burning dirty coal, The U.S. has the largest deposits in the world of clean burning coal and enough to run for over 1,000 years at current rates. It's estimated if you burn the dirty coal, 10,000. The world
will be melted underneath a cloud of
10,000 years at current rates. And all I got to do is put scrubbers on there and nothing dirty comes out. And I know I harp on this a lot. It's just coal is not a sexy thing. And so, you know, I hear leftists all the time. Oh, I got an electric car because it doesn't, you know, use carbon. Yes, it does. So Trump is withdrawing from the Paris Agreement again, reversing U.S. climate policy.
Coal is not a sexy thing.
I agree.
Alex has no idea what he's talking about. And I think it shows in clips like that.
Yeah.
Like where he's having to just say words and...
It's a turbine hydroelectric. What? What are you talking about?
Scrubbers! So scrubbers in coal power plants are there to remove things from the gases that are emitted when you burn the coal. And in terms of like sulfur dioxide, they do a pretty good job of that. You can't get those emissions down to nothing, but you can cut them pretty far down. And most of them work by spraying something like limestone slurry into the area where the gas is emitted, where the calcium in the limestone reacts with the sulfur dioxide to combine into a neutral substance.
Fun.
This naturally creates this new issue of sludge removal, but leaving aside all kinds of the into-the-weeds kind of discussion, these scrubbers do cut down on sulfur dioxide emissions. Sulfur dioxide is one of the flue gases that are released during the carbon burning process, and this strategy is all right for that, but the issue is that there's a ton of gases that get put out, and this technique works differently with each of them. CO2 is much more complicated to scrub, and the methods we have now are pretty expensive, and you're left with all these byproducts, and the process requires a bit of fuel to carry out, so it's kind of circular in a lot of ways. Alex just pretends that a scrubber is a complete solution to the problems that coal-fired plants present, and it's just junior high-level understanding of the subject that he's covering. I've made jokes before about him, like, I think he thinks that they're just washing
the coal. I 100% do.
He's not convincing me that he has a deeper understanding when he talks about these subjects.
I believe when he thinks about the scrubbers, he sees a cartoon, conveyor belt with chunks of black coal and mechanical arms with scrubber brushes scrubbing it off, and then as it goes by, it is white coal.
Well,
I swear to God, I believe he believes that.
I believe it too, but I believe it's slightly different. The image is different in my mind.
Okay.
It's the same thing, except instead of arms coming down,
yeah,
the conveyor belt stops, and it's Alex sitting in a bathtub with a little rubber duck in there, and he takes the coal and he scrubs it up.
Okay, I can see that.
And then it gets back on the...
I'm more in the Tex Avery cartoon world of mechanical hands with white gloves on them.
Yeah. Sure. It's one of the two. It's in his head.
It's got to be.
So we got another executive order.
Sure.
Trump got out of the World Health Organization.
Sure.
Woo!
Good.
And then you've got this. Trump orders U.S. exit from the World Health Organization. Points out they have inappropriate political influence here in the United States, that they unfairly, majority of the money's paid by the United States. And I wish he would have gone further. I mean, it's the criminal group involved with the globalists cooking up the viruses and pushing the world government. And boy, I tell you, Bill Gates is not a happy camper right now. Trump declares the U.S. will withdraw from the World Health Organization. Trump wants to pull the U.S. out of the World Health Organization again. Here's what may happen. Now they're talking about, well, maybe this won't actually get done. Because, you know, he did it his first 4 years in. And look at this article. Meet the world's most powerful doctor, Bill Gates. Remember that? 2017? Little catch, though. He's not a doctor. He's a eugenicist.
So Alex has clearly identified the irony that the writer was using in that headline. Bill Gates is not a doctor, so yep. It's ironic to say that he's the world's most powerful doctor.
Yep.
Proud of Alex reading at a sixth grade level.
Yeah.
It's worth applause.
It's a little wordplay, a little turn of phrase to kind of get to, yeah. Mm-hmm. It's quite good.
Maybe fifth grade.
Yep.
On the subject of Bill Gates, just before the inauguration, he went around making nice with Trump. He told the Wall Street Journal about a dinner he had with Trump, saying, quote, "I was frankly impressed with how well he showed a lot of interest in the issues I brought up." He does a lot of philanthropic work, and there's a large upside to a lot of that stuff, and some criticisms, too, but he's still a part of the mega-rich class, and his behaviors will generally tend to follow that. So, I don't know.
What does it feel? I want to know what it feels like from his perspective.
Bill Gates?
Yeah, to be in a room with Trump and then to leave that room and to have other human beings look at him in the face with his eyes. And then for him to go like, I was impressed with him.
Well, here, let me read that quote to you again, actually.
Sure.
I was frankly impressed with how well he showed a lot of interest in the issues I brought up.
Sure.
That is almost like saying, I was impressed that he registered.
Right. I could see his eyes and his mouth was moving, but when I was talking, his mouth wasn't moving.
Yeah.
So that's how I know he was interested.
I was surprised with his ability or willingness to accept that I said things.
Sure. No. I mean, again, that. But see,
it's
that's
a low bar.
That's even dumber. That's even dumber for him. That. How could you? How did that make you feel from the inside?
Pretty
looking
empty.
Out.
Pretty like, empty. Probably.
Pretty fucking stupid. Like his whole idea is, I'm going to have a legacy that where I saved people's lives despite being a billionaire and murdering everybody and doing all this horrible shit. Instead, he's got to look people in the face and say shit like this.
Yeah, here's me being very nice to the person who's going to work to dismantle a lot of the work that I've done.
Yep.
These diseases that were very well eradicated or close to eradicated through global coordinated effort.
Coming back, baby.
I would not be surprised.
Yep.
So getting out of the World Health Organization is just stupid, and it's likely going to lead to increased difficulty handling all kinds of public health issues. It seems like if the complaint is that the group is too political, you'd want to stay in it so you can exert your own political will in that arena. The WHO is going to continue to exist with or without the United States, and now Trump has just removed us from the body where collaborative decisions happen. It seems like shooting yourself in the foot so you don't have to spend money on global health issues that affect everyone, but oh well. Whatever.
Whatever.
So we got another executive order that Alex touches on.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah, there's a lot of them.
Yeah.
Trump signed another order. No more showing up to work one day a month. If you're going to collect a paycheck from the government, you actually have to show up to work. President Trump signs an order mandating federal workers show up in person to work.
This is just a no remote.
I've seen different numbers, but on average, federal workers show up about 2 or 3 days a month. And they say they work from home, and they have these devices.
They say they work from home.
They're best sellers. Millions of them are sold on Amazon a year alone. And it just moves your mouse. So it's a little device that's plugged in that you put your mouse on, and then it just moves the mouse periodically around the table. And that's because a lot of these companies and the feds will monitor work-at-home people to make sure they're working. And then they've just got it plugged in to one of those devices. And, I mean, I got to tell you, they designed the COVID lockdowns to train you for carbon lockdowns, to train you to work from home. They admit that. That's one of the big initiatives of Bill Gates and the UN. And the work ethic never came back like it was after that. And that's been seen systemically.
Through Alex, for sure.
Oh, yeah.
I don't think his work ethic is a...
No.
So, if I understand this correctly,
yeah,
this machine is a top seller that makes your mouse move around a little bit because that is how you get around like you work from home but you're not really doing any work,
right?
You're just tricking them because your mouse moves around.
Right
now, if I'm to understand this, what a mouse moving around would do is make it so you don't go into like screensaver.
Your cursor would move around a little
bit. But it's, what does that do other than make it so you don't go into screensaver?
I mean, I imagine if they have any sort of key tracking software installed on there,
you'd see that they're not hitting any buttons.
They're not hitting any buttons, right, which would be a pretty crucial aspect of the work part.
Oh, also, if there's something that you do, you wouldn't be doing that thing.
No, you wouldn't
and
have...
And so, like, I mean, when I worked at Groupon, maybe I shouldn't say this, but I did work from home sometimes.
Sure.
And I would work less. I would.
Sure.
But there are still things that I needed to do.
Right.
You know? And if those things didn't get done, someone would notice.
Right.
So I think that these federal employees, some of them probably have things they need to do that would be noted. You can't just... The government is not just checking in on whether or not your mouse moves.
Right. No, there's a whole job you have to do.
Yeah.
You do your job.
And if it's a screensaver thing, you could just change the settings on your computer to not go to screensaver.
Yeah.
So you don't even need to move your mouse.
Yeah. Like... everything that needs to get done, if you work from home, will get done. The reason that they want you in the office is to exert more control over you.
Yeah.
And to put the pressure of you might get fired on you all the time.
Yeah. And to keep you in your place.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's bullshit.
If you want to, like, nobody would be like, oh, being in a cubicle makes me feel like a normal human being as opposed to being in my home. Yeah.
Let me actually clarify that on the Groupon thing.
Sure.
I did as much actual work, you know, like yeah. the number of deals and stuff that I got pushed through were the same as if I had been at the office.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
But I worked less.
Yeah.
Because I wasn't doing all the extraneous other bullshit yep. that comes along with working in an office.
You bet.
But like, I don't know. This is just a sad thing for Alex to be excited about.
I can't imagine anybody on the side of the worker who's like, man, they really should force you to go into the office whenever it is exactly as the same.
Especially also someone like Alex, who's so big on family values.
Yeah.
And a lot of times people being able to work remotely has a huge impact on their ability to spend more time with their family.
Yep. Or just to afford childcare, period.
Absolutely.
They don't have to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is something that is actually directly counter to what Alex pretends yep. his beliefs are.
Yep.
But he talks a little bit more about how these people are...
These lazy people.
They're just screwing around.
Working one day a month, Dan.
Yeah. Oh.
And we're going to have to cut some things on average, and we're going to have to work harder, or we're going to go completely belly up. And that's the plan. And so for most people and most jobs, there's a lot of screwing around going on. And people just try to figure out a way to act like they're working. I mean, the examples are out there where you have government construction crews will take 20 years to build something when a private company can do it in two. And that's and in Texas, they really privatize most of it now. And they can build stuff way quicker than when it was the Texas Highway Department doing it. And it's just like NASA couldn't even build a Saturn rocket anymore. That's a Wernher von Braun design from the 60s that they put up. And then here comes Elon, and it just more space exploration, acceleration, innovation in a decade than all other space exploration before, government or private, because he sets aggressive goals. And that's how you get stuff done. Things either happen really quick or they don't happen at all.
So two things really quick. One, if Alex's whole point here is to be like, Elon Musk is not at all like a Nazi at all.
Sure.
I do think it's a little strange for him to be like, he's the only person who could continue Wernher von Braun's legacy.
There is that.
That, I'd work on this.
I mean, the thoughts are connected, whether or not he intends them to be.
I'd scrub them a little bit.
Maybe.
Before I release
them. Get some robot hands in there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the second thought is, like, he seems to be saying, like, oh, these people just fucking screw around. It's too much dicking around at work. Not like Elon Musk, who's pretends to be level 100 in Path of Exile.
Right.
And screws around on Twitter all the goddamn time.
Yeah.
Like, that guy is probably a parody of efficiency.
I mean, I don't even know how to, like, engage with somebody who is willing to take Elon Musk at his word.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Just it's like kind of funny.
Yeah, I suppose. I suppose. It is a little funny.
It's really funny for someone who brands themselves like, I'm skeptical.
It's more funny when it's
good discernment.
It's more funny when it's other rich people who should have known better.
Mm-hmm.
It's less funny whenever it's just people.
Yeah.
That sucks.
But Alex is a stupid rich person who should know better.
That's true.
So he gets into just reading off all of these executive orders. And play a little bit of this, just because, like, this is the level of shit we're dealing with. Like, you don't learn anything from this.
Now, here is a short list, because it's so long. Presidential actions Trump signed day one. Withdrawing the United States from the World Health Organization. Application of protecting Americans from foreign adversary-controlled applications, TikTok. Granting pardons and commutations for sentences for certain offenses related to the events at or near the United States Capitol January 6, 2021. Putting America first in international environmental agreements. Delivering emergency price relief for American families and devastated and defeating the cost of living crisis. Hiring freeze, regulatory freeze pending review. Return to in-person work, ending the weaponization of the federal government, restoring freedom of speech and ending federal censorship, securing our borders, protecting the meaning and value of American citizenship. Realigning the United States Refugee Admissions Program. Unleashing American energy. Clarifying the military's role in protecting the territorial integrity of the United States. America First trade policy.
What does any of that mean?
I have no
idea. What do any of those things do? You have no context or information for what these executive orders are meant to do. Alex is reading these names.
Yeah.
That many of them could be considered like, oh, that's kind of like the Patriot Act, huh?
Yeah.
This name kind of sounds good, I guess.
I can't imagine taking any name at face value from any government.
Elon Musk at face value,
it doesn't matter. And this is a nonpartisan take. It doesn't matter what it is. If it sounds nice, it's like Obama's drone strike program was like, everybody's going to be happy forever program. You know, like, it's not a good thing.
I think a lot of times there are names that are given to things that are a little bit, they hide a little bit.
They're there to hide. Yeah.
And I think being skeptical about that is probably good. Alex is not diving into any of this stuff.
No.
Some of this he's accidentally already talked about, like the January 6th people and, you know, that. But what does it mean?
I mean, even just hearing, like, taking care of the cost of living crisis is like, wait, does that mean lowering it? Or does that mean, like, making sure it feels nice about itself? Giving it a good day, taking the cost of living crisis to a massage parlor.
Right, putting America first in environmental policy. What does that mean?
Burning down our national parks?
Probably.
Is that why? What? How is that? Well, we're taking care of things.
So that list goes on longer.
Of course.
And there was one that I just thought, like, it stuck out a little bit.
Okay.
Protecting the American people against invasion. The Organization for Economic Cooperation and Development. Global tax deal. That's going after the OECD's always calling for higher taxes, reversing that.
So Alex has zero idea what this OECD thing, this tax thing is all about.
Yeah.
He's happy to let the audience think that it's about the OECD calling for higher taxes, which is a bad thing and it needs to be stopped. And thank God Trump was there.
Sure.
But what if I were to tell you that this was actually about an OECD plan for global minimum tax, which would only apply to multinational companies that take in more than 750 million euros a year? What if I were to tell you that this was just about making a rule that such companies would be subject to a 15% minimum effective tax rate, which has the effect of disincentivizing businesses who leave their countries in order to operate in places that have low or no taxes?
Sure.
That certainly sounds different than what Alex would want you to think that this is, and it actually sounds like something he should be principally in favor of. He hates these multinational corporations that take all the money offshore. Having a tax structure like this in place would actually seem to help address some of the negative effects of globalization, but I guess the tip of the spear isn't interested in this. And you know nothing about it based on Alex's coverage of it. He's just, it's bad. It would like higher taxes.
Yeah, it does feel as though if you wanted that one to stick, you should not have elected the owner of a multinational corporation.
Yeah.
That seems like, I don't think they would have like been like, hey, let's keep this guy going.
But I think the fact that that can happen is the reason why you would need it to be a global thing.
Here's a question. Did anybody even bother giving a shit if he pretended to divest from Trump Organization? Or is everybody just like, fucking
fine? He launched a meme
coin. Yeah, right? You know what I'm saying? Like, I remember last time people were like, Jared Kushner and blah,
there was
blah,
a lot
blah,
of talk about emoluments and all that.
Sure. Yeah,
because
nobody gave a shit right?
Well, I mean, I think it would be hard to.
It'd be ridiculous. Yeah,
I think the people tried to care and had a good faith effort.
There they went,
and it went how it did.
Best
and
of
now
luck,
everyone is just like, well, I guess
this is how we do it.
Yeah,
this is how we do it now.
So Alex, he's like, hey, you know what I'd love to cover right now?
Yeah.
Hillary looking mad at the inauguration.
Honestly, so would I.
Yeah,
that'd be more fun. That's more fun.
We ought to go back because I've got so much here. We ought to go back and just get footage from yesterday during the swearing in and during the ceremony. And I mean, you look at the faces of Obama and Hillary and Bill Clinton. And Hillary. Hillary looks like she's been taxidermied. Obama looks like he's crapping his pants. But Bill Clinton, who's looked like a corpse for years and still looks like he's starring in Day of the Dead, but animated-wise was laughing and smiling and turning red and getting off on it. Because, see, Bill Clinton deep down...
famous for it, getting off.
Likes to screw underage girls, but, you know, 15, 16, still bad. But I mean, he's on, like, you know, he's on a paper from what we know. Like, certain people that think they're the world's doctor, who reportedly likes to screw babies, makes him feel powerful. He's a selfish piece of crap, a demon. Bill Clinton's evil as hell.
Sure.
But, man, he likes power. And you can't not look at Trump and be fascinated by it. I mean, that guy is a freaking dynamo of engine power. I mean, that he is a workhorse. He is a titan.
Game recognized game.
Wow. Yeah.
I don't know. I can't do a Bill Clinton impression.
We were both on the jet together. Why would I be mad? I'm Bill Clinton. I'm here to have a good time.
Bill Clinton is in there. He's like, I love power so much that I got to give it up to this Trump guy. He's exerting power in such a way that it really hits my fundamental interests. Now, Hillary and Obama, they're not the same way. Wait, I thought they were. I thought they were all super interested in power.
I do feel like I appreciate this. I appreciate finding out about this because that fits with my understanding of the world and of those people. That is totally appropriate. Bill Clinton should be yucking it up and having a grand time.
Well, fine, but I think that this fits my view of the world more, and that is that Alex just imagines things when he sees stuff.
Sure, that's true.
Maybe Bill Clinton, before the camera went to him, was coughing on a piece of popcorn that
Could
he was
be.
Eating at the inauguration.
Turned
so his
red.
Face was all red.
Could be.
And Alex has turned this into a, he just loves it.
Yeah.
He sees Trump, he's so, Trump's so strong.
Man, that is, it is weird. I feel like if I was the Obamas, I would not go.
Yeah. Yeah, probably.
Yep.
I would have done that too.
Yep.
So Alex has someone who is going on the show.
Sure.
Someone who's a guest. Someone who was a guest.
Yeah.
Someone who hangs out with another guy who is called Based Stickman.
Great.
That is Enrique Tarrio.
Cool.
All right. Former leader, I guess current leader of the Proud Boys, political prisoner, former J6 hostage, released from prison last night. And that's a whole nother subject. Enrique Tarrio is joining us. I talked to their lawyer, who's also been my lawyer on some things, concerning J6, Norm Pattis. He was calling me last night, 6 a.m. this morning, and he's talking to all of them.
Norm was your lawyer on more than just J6, buddy.
Yeah.
Very, very cool you sharing lawyers with these guys. That's not suspicious or shady, especially considering that it's Norm.
Great.
But yeah, so he's going to have Enrique Tarrio on. And I thought that was predictable and kind of funny. But more funny was that I hadn't thought about for a while the fact that he used to hang out with people who jumped you into a gang until you named cereals.
Yes, that's true.
And he had a friend who was named Base Stick Man because he hit people with sticks.
Yep.
And a guy named Rufio Pan Man because he hit people
with pants. Yep.
These
wow!
Guys were
how
such dorks.
Far we've come! How far we've come!
And their gang is named after that song from Aladdin, "To Be Proud of Your Boy."
We have come a long way from the Proud Boys.
Yep.
Oof.
And it's all folding back on itself.
Yep.
So Alex has the same lawyer as these Proud Boys.
Sure,
but he's also just like really good friends with them.
And for the next 30 minutes, Enrique Tarrio is very gracious to give us his first big interview. TarrioFamilyFund.org at Noble One. And he's a really personable guy, a friend of mine. Been here to Austin many times, been around the country with him. Great Trump rallies in D.C. Totally set up for people that don't know. Most people do. And Trump did the right thing. Total, complete, unconditional across the board. Stuart Rhodes, Joe Biggs, all friends of mine as well.
You're too close to this story, buddy. You were there on January 6th. You're friends with all of these people who committed a seditious conspiracy and were convicted. You have the same lawyer.
Yep.
This is real close.
It feels like if Pablo Escobar was interviewing all of the people who ever worked for him.
seems
like you're like, hey, everybody got, we got out free. It's crazy that we all have the same lawyer, isn't it? It's crazy.
What a coincidence.
What a weird thing that I paid for the same lawyer.
Yeah,
as
and it
else.
Speaks to Norm's quality.
He's a good guy.
Great.
Praise a lot in the court.
So Tario, he has this to say about, I think he stops just short at the end of this clip of saying, I owe Trump my life, which I think is kind of what he's saying.
But Mr. Tario, it is wonderful to have you free, my friend. What would you like to say to the world first?
My friend, Alex, I am going to tell you that I am honored to give my first interview to you and InfoWars. I love you guys. I love you guys for fighting for what's right. And I'm happy to be out. And just like you said, I'm still shell-shocked. I'm still processing. I'm still processing my freedom. So with that, like I tell you, I thank you. I thank you for everything that you've done. And I'm happy. I'm happy that my guys are out. I'm happy the other J6ers are out. I'm happy we got pardoned. And I'm extremely happy with the 45th and 47th president of these United States, with Donald J. Trump. Promises made, promises kept. Every time I had no doubt that he was going to win. I had no doubt he was going to release us. And he didn't release us because we were buddy-buddy. He released us because it was the right thing to do, Alex.
Did
and
he?
That I am eternally thankful for. He gave me my life back. Literally, my life is back.
When he says, literally, my life is back, it kind of felt like he was going to say, my life is his.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, the issue that I have is, I get the games that everyone's going to play with these folks, like Alex and all of them. They're going to, you know, sort of re-solidify their narrative that these guys were innocent and
sure.
they were all set up and
sure.
all this. And
sure,
you
sure,
know,
sure,
Ray
sure.
Epps, blah, blah, blah.
Yep.
But they know what they did. Like, Enrique Tarrio knows what he did.
Yeah.
Stuart Rhodes knows what he did. They know what their intentions were.
Yep.
Right? So
yeah.
they have to be getting out of prison and be like, Trump wanted us to do this.
Yeah.
He has clearly indicated that he will get our back.
Yeah.
Why would you ever not do exactly the thing you were doing and more? Why wouldn't you have an expectation that, like, we're Trump's mafia? We're Trump's guys.
Yeah.
Like,
I just love remembering that a lot of the impeachment trial hinged on, like, he didn't, they didn't tell him to do it. He didn't direct them to do anything. He's not even related, you know? And it's like, if you pardon them immediately, that should be retroactive.
Oh,
you know,
yeah.
You should. Yeah. We should now be able to be like, okay, you were impeached and removed from office in 2017.
Yeah.
Now that's gone.
Yeah.
It's like you, if they can take away Reggie Bush's Heisman Trophy, all right, we should be able to take away the presidency. That's the way I should go. And that means that we remove all the things that he did. Go all the way back to the beginning.
I
cancel him out.
I don't know how you do it, but it sounds all right to me. I can't imagine how you can't look at this and be like, yeah, you guys all know, you know, and you're going to behave based on what you know, not based on what you're pretending to believe in public.
Yeah.
This is real fucked up. I think that there is a PR and whatever kind of thing that Trump could have done when he came into office. With, like, yeah, the guy who shit on Nancy Pelosi's desk, you're pardoned. The guy who stole the lectern, you're pardoned. You know,
sure.
like, this, all this stuff, you know, it could be like, hey, you're not going to learn anything from going to prison and you're not really a danger to society. I'm going to give a blanket pardon to all of these people.
Sure.
But still keep Enrique Tarrio, Stuart Rhodes, the Proud Boys, Oath Keepers. Those people should not have gotten pardons. Because exactly what you're saying is too obvious. Through that action.
Well, I mean, but those are the people he wants to pardon. He
right.
doesn't want to pardon the people who were peaceful.
Right.
That would be stupid.
That's the tension.
Yeah, no, it makes sense. I honestly, like, the only people that I can see it being a purely rational choice to be like, I hope Trump becomes president, That's those guys.
Yeah.
Right? That's their... Yeah, and, absolutely.
And people who stand to gain a lot off scams and
sure.
shit like that.
I don't blame them for being stoked.
No.
Yeah.
Not at all.
No.
Not at all. And they know where their bread is buttered, and they know that they have the president and the government's blessing to go beat up people at liberal protests and stuff.
Yep.
So cool.
I wouldn't protest.
So Tario talks about getting out of jail.
Sure.
He tells the experience.
What was it like when you finally heard you were pardoned?
Well, they actually pulled me out of my cell at 4 o'clock yesterday, Central Standard Time. And they told me, that's it. Pack your stuff. You're leaving. They put me in a holding cell. And right when they were about to release me, they told me, wait, we have to wait because the verbiage on the pardon might exclude you. Because the way that the pardon was written, it was for people who were at the Capitol. So since I wasn't at the Capitol that day, I wasn't even in the district that day, the warden just wanted to make sure that my name was on the list. So they put me back in my to my unit where I sat and I waited up until this morning. But I was jubilant the entire time.
And did you notice when Trump actually put out the list, he put your name at the top?
Yes, I did. I did see that. I did see that, and I'm thankful for it. Again, we have the best president, I think, since George Washington.
Oh, there's no doubt. This is the real deal.
Oh, yeah. So the street gang leader is the first name on the list. That I can see how they might take that as a message, too.
I definitely do.
Hey,
whether they read it or not, buddy, loud and clear to me.
And I can tell you, of the names on that, neither Enrique nor Tario would be first in terms of alphabetical.
Nope. No, sir.
Pardon Jay Johnson. That's fine.
Sure.
Keep these shitheads in prison.
Yeah.
I don't know. So I think that there's something interesting in the way that this story is told, mm-hmm. because Tario wasn't there.
Right.
You know, he had already been arrested.
Sure.
Because he burned a Black Lives Matter banner that he stole from a church. Because
of the other crimes.
And then he got caught with weapons
right.
In D.C.
He did the crimes.
Yeah. So he was already in custody. And so it does make sense that they would be like, hold on a second. We just got to get this technicality worked out. Maybe this doesn't formally apply to you.
Sure.
And then it took a little while, a couple hours, and then he was released.
Yeah.
Alex, I feel like he's deeply invested in trying to push the narrative that they tried to keep Tario in jail,
yeah.
even though there was the pardon. And so he rephrases this multiple times.
I can't tell you it was hard. These past 24 hours have been hard on me because I had faith. It was a good time, Alex. It's a good day. It's a good day to be an American.
But it is absolutely very newsworthy, though, that because I remember reading that and I thought about you when I saw the order come out. And I remember thinking about you because you weren't even in the state. And it said right there, anyone in or around the Capitol on J6.
Mm-hmm.
So describe what it was like for people again, because you got caught up on the break. They take you out, say you're leaving, and they put you in a holding cell. They come back and say, oh, sorry. We're not sure you're going to be released now. I mean, describe that.
Yeah, they said, we're not sure because of how the pardon, so we just got to make sure with the administration. So it might take a couple hours. They were actually really nice, Alex.
This isn't working out the way Alex wants it to. He's trying to create some kind of a nefarious plot here, but Tario is like, no, the reference is pretty cool.
This is really nice.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
It's a little speed bump that happened based on wording and everyone wanting to make sure that everything was checked off the list. And Alex, this is not the only time he does this. There's multiple times where he's really trying to, like, come on, work with me on this.
Yeah.
And it's just not going anywhere.
Yeah.
So Tario he was the head of the Proud Boys.
Sure.
Serial king himself.
Yep.
The master of
Lucky Charms.
Spoons.
All right.
And so, you know, they were a gang of guys who like to fight on streets and stuff. You know, they like to yell things at Antifa and what have you.
It was their vibe.
And so Alex, he's like, you're just in prison. I got to debrief you on what's going on with the street level stuff right now.
We have the internet, bud.
So Alex gives him a little rundown.
They've pre-programmed. You've been in prison. You probably missed it. Because I know there's like, you know, one TV when you're able to get out a few hours and see. But they have been saying Trump's going to kill the migrants. terrorists are going to hit them. Tom Homan's going to murder them. They got all these mayors saying they're going to resist the illegal, lawful, constitutional federal operation. And they're planning, I believe, to false flag a migrant protest. And I've told, and I know the borders are smart, so he already said yesterday they were planning to set them up on their raids in Chicago. Somebody leaked it, so they had to pull back for now, and that's good. They need to be very careful because all they need to get is these big demonstrations are a trap to get ICE to go after them there, and then somebody's going to open up with a gun or truck bomb the migrants and blame a Trump supporter. I'm telling you, they have pre-programmed that. They've had all the Democrat people on TV, Carbel, Raskin, all of them. Oh, Trump's coming to kill the migrants. He's coming to kill the black people. Oh, they're going to murder us en masse. And when they do, we're going to have an armed uprising. They're planning to try to trigger a race war. They're planning to burn down the cities, much worse than 2020. What is your view on my concern and prediction?
I think your concern is extremely legitimate, and I think we need to stay vigilant.
So, like, Enrique Tarrio is the head of a gang, right? I mean, like, what is Alex telling him to do?
Stay away from those protests.
I would think so. I guess that's probably what he's. And if that's the case, then I guess that's probably positive.
Yeah.
Hey, Proud Boys, don't get it mixed up in this shit.
I guess whatever gets us to the Proud Boys not being there,
yeah,
works for me.
Proud Boys, stay home. Don't stand back and stand by.
Yeah. I don't like how it's being phrased.
No.
But you know what? If it keeps them away, that's fine.
Because there's a part of me that thinks that Alex is actually trying to be like, we need this actually to happen.
Right.
And they aren't going to do false flags because that's nonsense and of Alex's imagination. We need these conflicts to actually happen to give Trump an excuse to crack down far more harshly on our enemies.
Right. We won't be able to do what Carville and Raskin say unless we do this.
Yeah, so there's almost a part of me that feels like what he's actually telling Tarrio to do is be sure you go to these protests and cause some trouble.
Absolutely, because you're there to...
Because then we'll be able to say that all this shit's a false flag.
False flag.
Yeah, this is the way that our dance needs to work, buddy.
Send your most disposable people to these protests and have them cause problems.
What time is it? I think Joe Biggs is about to get out.
Crazy. Yeah, get on in there, bud.
So I liked this. Enrique says something that I think Alex should probably take offense at.
We need to make sure that, you know, we cross our T's and dot our I's, you know, and not fall for any traps. You know, I really think that we need to be looking at, you know, a lot of these people that rile up crowds and really take a look at who they are and what's going on. We saw it happen on January 6th. It could happen a million more times.
Hey, you talking about me? I rile up crowds with a bullhorn. I was on January 6th trying to rile up the crowd.
You talking
about me, asshole?
I don't know. I don't know what to tell you. I don't know what to. I'm gasted by flabber.
If I were Alex, I would be pretty sure he's talking about me.
Hey, there's only who calls
the champion of riling up crowds.
Listen. I guess doublespeak wasn't enough.
Mm-hmm.
We're all the way at quadruple speak at this point.
No, this is single speak.
Lord knows what is being said. I don't even understand what's being said.
We have to be suspicious of people who rile up crowds.
Right.
Alex riles up crowds.
Well, but I mean,
it happened on January 6th. Alex was there with a bullhorn on January 6th, specifically leading crowds through the streets of D.C. to the Capitol and then riling them up.
Yeah, but now that's what they want again? God, I don't even know. I don't even understand.
So they talk a little bit about what needs to happen.
Sure.
And one of the big things is we need to arrest Merrick Garland for spiteful reasons.
You know one person they haven't pardoned, Alex, or maybe I didn't hear about it. They haven't pardoned Merrick Garland. And Merrick Garland is, I guess, guilty of the same thing Steve Bannon was. And Steve Bannon had to go through 3 months of federal prison. I think we should start with that. We should put Merrick Garland, at the very least, for 90 days in federal prison and give him a taste of his own medicine of what he put us through. So I'm calling for the incarceration of Merrick Garland for corruption and for not following the subpoena that the Congress legally gave him.
Well, that's a great point. For those that don't know, Merrick Garland put quite a few Trump officials, including Steve Bannon, in prison for contempt of Congress, refusing to testify, even though they were part of the administration. Clear executive immunity, meaning that they do not have to testify on matters of that, because that would violate the separation of powers and allow congressional witch hunts. And so he, though, said, well, I'm the attorney general, so I'm allowed to. And that's a great point, that would be a good start to put Merrick Garland in prison.
Yeah. So Ana Paulina Luna should put that resolution in front of Congress to make a criminal referral to Pam Bondi's Department of Justice. And Pam Bondi should take a look at it and make a decision on whether to indict ex-Attorney General Merrick Garland.
So Alex is full of shit, but let's just imagine that all of that description that he gave is accurate. Even if you stipulate all of that, then he shouldn't believe that Garland should be prosecuted. He believes that Trump administration officials shouldn't have gotten in trouble for not answering a subpoena, and because they did, he believes that his side is entitled to do things that he believes to be unconstitutional and bad. Hearing him discuss these kinds of dynamics should make it clear to anyone that he doesn't care about whether or not something is unconstitutional or bad. This is about making an excuse to do shit in retribution that Alex couldn't justify otherwise. Mm. Because if he believes that Steve Bannon was unjustly prosecuted, the answer isn't unjustly prosecute someone else.
Mm.
That's not appropriate. If your concerns are based in the appropriate carrying out of the law.
Yeah.
It's either both or none for Alex.
Right.
And he wants one, not the other.
Yeah.
That's doesn't fly.
It's cheating.
It is.
Yeah.
He wants to cheat.
He wants to cheat. Yeah.
Well, to be fair, this is a pitch that's being given to us by a street gang leader who just got pardoned for trying to overthrow the government.
Which is something that he should probably be ashamed about. Like, that's what he wants?
Mm-hmm.
You're a street gang leader and you want the fucking... Congress should refer him for criminal prosecution. I prefer the Secretary of Retribution to this. This is pathetic.
The Secretary of Retribution makes sense in its delusion.
Yeah.
This is somebody who is way outside their lane.
What are you talking about?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You should be saying that if Merrick Garland can't name 8 cereals, you're going to kick his ass.
Yeah, we break his knees. That's what you should be saying. We're going to go break Merrick Garland's knees.
Yeah.
And then the government's going to be like, that's illegal. And we'll be like, is it? And they'll be like, you got it.
Yeah.
You scamp. Get out of here.
Oh, no. You've been pardoned.
Yeah.
Also, I think it's kind of... a little bit sad just from the, like, hey, I run this organization where we go beat people up and we have fun and we drink and we talk about cereals and have fun nicknames for each other.
Yeah.
I think it's really sad when you get pardoned, because then it's like, I have the approval of the state.
Yeah.
How transgressive are you? How like dangerous are you as a street gang? You're sanctioned by the police.
Yeah.
You're sanctioned by the government.
The only thing to do is push the envelope as far as you possibly can, even if you're sanctioned by the government.
Right, because now basically you have the impression, or you should, if you're Enrique Tarrio or Stuart Rhodes, you should have the impression that basically you're the military or the cops without the rules.
Yeah, you're above the law.
Yes.
Yeah.
You tried to overthrow the fucking government, and the next president just said, hey, y'all are cool.
Yeah, you should be pissed off if you get a parking ticket.
Exactly.
Yeah, you'll be like, fuck, I'm going to call somebody about this, and I will get it. Yeah.
There's no reason why that wouldn't be a rational conclusion for you to draw.
That's what I would do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we got one last clip here. Alex talking about how the Proud Boys are heroes.
Mm-hmm.
And then Tarrio making a big announcement.
Mm.
You know, we had the Proud Boys, for people that don't know, founded because, it was already founded kind of just to have fun by, you know,
cereal lovers.
Yep. Kevin McGinnis, but got serious when Antifa in Portland, in Seattle, in other areas was just going up and beating up any type of Christian barbecue or any type of conservative babies, you know, attacking children, women.
A Christian barbecue?
You guys,
no Christian barbecues.
Go out there and never start it, but always finish it.
It's got the mustard sauce.
You know, God tries to hit him with a metal baton, and it's just boom. And the left hated the image of men, black, white, brown, together out defending women and children, heroes.
Naming cereals.
And so they called you Nazis. They called you all this other crap.
Dorks.
Now they're trying to say Trump's speech was like Hitler. Elon's like Hitler.
Nazis.
So it's just not going to work anymore. But where do you see the Proud Boys going now that they so tried to demonize, that they tried to say it was a terrorist organization? What do you see as now the future of Proud Boys, and will you be involved in it?
I think the future of the club is going to be what it's always been. Just a group of men that love America, get around and drink beer, and protect Trump supporters from being assaulted. We're not going to fall for these honey pots anymore. But we will defend ourselves, and we will defend Trump supporters or any American from being assaulted for their political views.
Sure.
As far as my future with the organization.
For my political views.
I'm not going anywhere. And we've made a decision not to talk publicly about what our leadership structure is. But I do have a suggestion for the mainstream media. They should stop calling me the ex-Proud Boy leader.
So you just made a statement about the leadership structure.
Sure.
Fun.
Right.
I know that there's probably legal reasons why you wouldn't want to have people know too much about the leadership structure of your street gang.
Sure.
But you just said that you're the leader again.
I mean,
dumbass.
Unless words don't mean anything,
yeah.
Then that's what you said.
Yeah, that's cute.
Yep.
So,
very Nazi-like.
So he's, Enrique Tarrio has reascended to the throne. And now this does introduce an interesting kind of pickle.
Yeah.
And that is that we could be looking at a situation where Joe Biggs gets out of prison and he returns to the sort of second in command position.
Sure.
Of the Proud Boys.
Yeah.
So you have an InfoWars employee who is a second in command of a street gang.
Sure.
You have Stuart Rhodes coming out.
Mm.
And if he comes back in charge of the Oath Keepers, then you have a fucking right-wing extremist militia that is headed up by someone else who's super close to Alex.
Sure.
You got a lot of adjacency here. You got a lot of close ties. And they have the same lawyer.
Yeah, I wouldn't worry too much about the lingering court cases is how I would feel about it. I wouldn't worry too much. I'd be like, oh, yeah, no. Sure. InfoWars, it owes you money. I'm sure. Oh, yeah, we do. I'm sure we do.
Yeah. This Department of Justice might not be as interested in anything.
Mm.
So, yeah, kind of a bummer a little bit, I guess, the having Enrique Tarrio back on the day after. But here we are. Alex is trying to get as much juice out of this as he can.
Yeah, it wasn't quite the same political prisoner freeing as like a Mandela.
No.
Not quite that. Didn't have the momentum.
You know, when Mandela got out, he was like, we're not going to fall for these honey traps.
We're not going to fall for these honey traps no more.
Yeah.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy. All right.
So we'll be back with another episode. And there are other J6 folks who will be coming up.
Of course.
Stuart Rhodes, of course, will be making an appearance in the near future.
Of course.
But yeah, I mean, it's just a mess.
What you going to do?
A mess.
Dark.
Yep.
Dark times.
Anyway, until we see some more dark shit, we have a website.
Indeed we do. It's knowledgefight.com.
Yep. We'll be back. But until then, I'm Neo. I'm Leo. I'm DZX Clark. I am the Mysterious Professor.
Woo! Yeah! Woo! Yeah! Woo!
And now here comes the sex robots.
Andy in Kansas, you're on the air. Thanks for holding.
Hello, Alex. I'm a first-time caller. I'm a huge fan. I love your work.
I love you.